We continue our learning. We know that when it comes to separating challah, there's a halacha to make a bracha. We may, and when making a bracha, so there's, based on the pasuk in the Chumash, v'lo yireh b'cha ervas davar, person cannot make a bracha if there's erva when facing erva. So you have a woman, if she's sitting on the ground and her erva is pressed into the ground, so she's really, even if she's not wearing any clothes, the erva is officially covered, so she can officially, separate challah and recite the bracha aruma, even if she's not clothed, because she can cover herself. As opposed to a man, but a man cannot. There is, by the way, another halacha that we may remember, which is midrabban, and that's libo roa esoeva. Sometimes the person can be wearing, can be completely covered. The erva is not showing at all, but there is no separation between the upper part of the body and the lower part of the body. Let's say a baggy robe, and there's no belt, and there's no undergarments that are cinched together. So that's also a problem. That's only midrabban. Midoraisa, the pasuk lo yir b'cha ervas davar, is that we're not permitted to say Hashem's name and say a bracha in front of erva. Therefore, a woman and a man are different in this regard. Mishenu yachol asos isaso b'tara. You have a person, he knows he cannot knead his dough in a tahor way. He's tamei, he doesn't have access to a mikvah. So the halacha is that the question is, what am I supposed to do? What would be ideal? Should we say that I should avoid the challah problem completely, or because I don't want to make a tummy, so I can make smaller pieces and not have it chayv and challah at all, or should I potentially make a tummy, but at least I'll have a chiyuv of challah? So that's a machloka, says the Mishnah. Mishena yachol asos yisom betara. So Mishnah says yasena kabin. To avoid this problem, I want to avoid affecting challah obligation at all. So I don't have to separate challah, and I won't make the challah tummy. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to kav, and we know is a small measure, this is going to be less. If I have several small doughs, tummy doughs, that's fine, as long as each of them is less than the 1 1/4 kav. So I have a kav, each one is a kav, which is less than obviously a kav and a quarter. So this way I avoid the problem of separating challah tamei at all. That is obviously the Tanakhama's of the opinion. If I can circumvent the challah obligation, that would be better than separating challah tamei. So that's what he says. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, yasena betumah, val yasena kabin. Says Rabbi Akiva, no, Mishnah will explain in a moment. It's better to knead a very a large enough dough where there's a chiyuv of challah, and it's going to become tameh when you separate it, rather than to avoid the challah obligation at all completely. Why? Because he says, "Kishem shehu korei la tahora, kachu korei la tameya." What does it mean? Just like I designate challah from tahor, do I designate challah from tameh dough? Rabbi Akiva is explaining why it's preferable to do what he recommends over the Tanakhama. True, the challah I'm separating from the tameh dough has to be burned. That's true, because I'm going to make a tameh, I have to burn it. In those days, you didn't have to burn it. Those days, you would you give it to a kohen. But what they would do in those days when you were tameh is what we do today when we know we're tameh. You'll burn it. Nonetheless, it's better if I have something kadosh, I should make a kadosh to Hashem, like having this challah that's separated, than not doing it at all. If it's less than a minimum size, there's no obligation of challah, and I don't create anything kadosh. So better to create something kadosh that eventually become tameh, and you'll have to burn, rather than not creating something kadosh at all. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So again, shekashem shehu korei la tahorok, kachu korei la tmeya, lozo korei chala v'shem, v'lozo korei chala v'shem. Each one, he's assigning a designation of chala. For each one, either way, they're called chala, even if it's tameh, aval kabim ein lahem chelek b'shem. Kabim, if you have kav at a time, and there's no chiyuv challah, so you'll never create something holy. So says Rabbi Akiva, better to create the challah tmeya than not to have challah at all. Perek Beis Mishnah Dalad, ha'ose isaso kabin v'nagu zebaze. You have a person who has two separate batches of dough, and each one is a kav. So I don't have the minimum amount alone, but together it will be, they will be chayiv chala. And the nagu zebes if they touch one another. So the Mishnah is teaching us ptur min hachala ad sheyishochu. Just touching one another does not join them together as one entity, but they have to bite each other. What does it mean, bite? They have to be stuck together so that if I would pull them apart now, some of the dough of one piece would be attached to the other piece. And that is, now, when is this biting happening? So some hold that the two doughs that are noshech one another are considered an entity only if they got attached before they baked in the oven. So that's when they can mix together. But once they've baked in the oven, so then it's going to be too late. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says the following. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af harode v'nosein lasal hasal mitzorf on lachal. And I think we accept Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. He says, the two doughs don't have to bite one another to be considered an entity to join together to be chayv and chal. He says, hasal mitzar fan lachala. Even the basket will join them together. He says, I have a collection of doughs and they're in the same utensil, the same basket. They become a single entity, even though they're not physically attached. So I have these two doughs that are not attached. They're chayv and chal if I put them in a basket. Now there is a debate that the Rishonim have when they're in the basket, should they at least be touching one another? So that's a question. Remember, touching wasn't enough, even according to the Tanakhama. But biting was enough. So Rabbi Yisrael says, no, they don't need to bite each other. They need to be in the same basket. Do they need to be touching in the same basket? So that's a debate. There is also a further discussion. What about if I have, let's say, are they combining, the loaves combined, let's say, in the oven? Just like a basket combines them. Will they combine as one entity in the oven? Let's say they're on a counter, they're on a board. Does that make them into one entity? When I put them in utensils, does it matter if the utensils have a rim or not on them? And that joins them together. Either way, Rabbi Eliezer learns this halacha, that two loaves that are together in a basket can be considered a single entity. They don't need neshicha from the pasuk. V'haya ba'al cholchem milechem ma'aretz tarim b'truma l'Hashem. What does he learn from there? So he says, you see from there that there's a challah obligation that may apply to bread. Meaning, if you take the word milechem ma'aretz tarim b'truma l'Hashem, sounds like, what do you mean? I'm separating challah from bread. I thought I separated when I have dough. So it comes to teach you that there can be a challah obligation that's relevant when the dough is baked into bread. When I have two doughs and each one doesn't have enough to be chayv and challah, and now they combine together into one until after the time that they're baked, or after they're baked, right before they're baked. Either way, there's a way for them to join together and become one entity, even at a later stage, even though there's no official nishicha.